Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. It is so exciting to see this little youth movement we're having, and we're about to get even younger with these four new babies. Just so you guys know, I've instructed Sandra to keep social distancing because at our age, if we catch this, it's not good. So, because it apparently is contagious. It's like every 30 days somebody is getting it. So, but anyway, it is so neat to see, and we're thankful for that. So those are fun things in life. It's, talking to Hope the other night, Wednesday night, brought back memories from when we had our first one, and she talked about the first trimester, the throwing up and the dry heaves and that kind of thing. And I remember those days, and I'm sure Sandra really remembers those. So. But it's fun, and so we're very happy for all of you. Life can be tough. Think about all the things that we go through in life and the struggles that we go through. There's so many good things that really, as a creature, we really want to live because there is enough good. But boy, do we not face battles. We're facing some battles right now. There's the world that we live in, and I think it's good sometimes that we get a really clear picture of the world so that we're not so caught up in it that it becomes everything to us, because we need to be about the spiritual things. That needs to be our everything. But some of the research that's coming out on things that are going on right now, we've had the stay-at-home recent research, and this is Kansas City research. 33% of all stay-at-home workers have admitted to drinking on the job at home. Crime is up. Look at the homicides in Kansas City right now. It's almost double what it's been before. It's going to set record numbers of homicides in Kansas City. People are not on the roads like they were before, and yet you see 10% increase in speeding tickets and accidents with less people on the road. Our world is in turmoil. We face battles every day. And sometimes they're not any of our fault, but that's what we're up against. What's a battle? We probably think about wars and different things, but you think about a battle. It's an extended contest, a struggle, a controversy, a meeting between opposing forces. So one, we know we all have a battle between physical and spiritual. That goes on every day within each and every one of us. That battle goes inside of what are we really living for, and making sure that the important thing is what we're about. But that's definitely a battle. Think about just the battles of life of being a Christian. Think about the other battles of life of just getting along with people and the things that we face every day. And we think about all of these battles that we face. Life is a battle. So you think about, what are the physical battles that each of us fight? Disease, violence, death. You know, physically we face injury, accident, all of these physical ailments. You know, a lot of times I didn't realize what I had when I was younger. And then as I aged, I discovered kidney stones and all these things in life that we battle with. And when we don't feel good physically, it's harder. It's harder to keep your mind right. So we definitely battle with physical things. Think about the battle that we have with intellectual things, with our mind. Think about the things that go on. What do we see on our televisions right now, if you still have it on? Hatred. We see hatred. We see people's ignorance. And I don't mean that as a negative thing. I mean it as with just not the knowledge to make a good decision. But we see ignorance. Sometimes intellectually, things can affect my own thinking. What am I really thinking because of what comes in through my senses? How does that affect how I think? Sometimes can cause a battle within our own minds, within our own souls. We have that battle. What about morally? You know, we look at the issues of right and wrong morally, with the morals in our country, with just doing things that are sinful. And we see it all the time, and it's almost become acceptable. And what happens is it influences us. And if we have it all the time, all of a sudden what we know was black or white, maybe we slide and it's gray. And so we have this battle going on with morality. And then, of course, a battle that we constantly face is religious. And you think about all the things that we hear about now, it's Christianity is under attack, has been, and is getting worse. And we have all these other religions that seem to be popular or accepted, and Christianity not so much. So you think about all those things that we battle in life, and there's a lot. And I'm hoping this morning, I'm not going to have the scriptures on my screen, but I'm hoping you'll open your Bible with me as we look at some of these things. And I'd like for you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. But we have all these battles, so what do we do about the battles? And I think as we think about these battles, that most times where the real struggle is in our minds. And as we face these battles, we've got to make sure that we keep our minds right. Because there's probably not a one of us that we haven't gotten something on our mind. I'm the one who at 3 o'clock in the morning will wake up, go to the bathroom, and if I go right back to sleep, I'm good. But if this thing engages and I start thinking about things of life sometimes or work or what's going on, I don't go back to sleep. I play it over and over and over in my mind. And so I think some of the greatest battles are our minds and what we put into our mind and how we behave and react and different things. So the Bible, one of the good things about the Bible is it tells us so many things about life. And one, it tells us that there's going to be a battle. In Ephesians chapter 6, and verse beginning in verse 11, let's start in 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he goes on to tell us that we need to take the whole armor of God because we're in a fight. We're going to be in a battle. And so we've been warned. And there's so many things that we get warned of in the Bible that we need to prepare ourselves for. And we have that. So we think about preparing for this battle. And if we go back and we look at some things, go back to Genesis. And you think at the very beginning in Genesis 1, and we see that God made everything those first 6 days. He made everything, and at the end of each day, God saw it, and it was good. And on day 6, he made man. And then in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Then you can go on down in verse 18, and we see that the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. So we see God, and now we have mankind, man and women. And then in chapter 3, it's not very long. It goes in verse 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So we have God, then we have man, and now we have Satan showing up. It's interesting to me at the very beginning of God's word in the Bible that we see this. And so now what happens is, guess what? Man is between these two. We have God, and we have Satan. And Satan is already asking Eve to do something that God's told him not to do. So man's between these two extremes. And so there's going to be a battle. Who's man going to follow? God? Or maybe his own desires? Or Satan? And we see as time goes, that man gets tried or tested. In Genesis 22, we read of Abraham, and we see that he is to get up and go into a far country. And we know that he's asked to sacrifice his son. And we see these things where he is being tested. Think of life. Have we all had those things where we have been tested? We've been tried. And you can go on and you can think of Job. Think of what Job went through. He had all of this family, all of these possessions, and in a matter of time, it's gone. And he suffers severe pain, physical ailments. But Job stays faithful. He stays patient. In the end, he's given it back. I can't remember how many times over than what he had originally. So we see that we're tested. We know that Satan tempts us, puts things before us that looks good to our eyes. And he does it to everybody. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 4. A passage that we're going to be familiar with, and I want us to think about what Satan does in Matthew chapter 4. And he does this to Christ. But he does this to us. And he offers us things, and they look good to us sometimes. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in the first verse. Then was Jesus led up of the garden, or led up of the spirits into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. Why is it that Satan appears to us when we're weak? When something's going on, maybe we're stressed about something and then this other thing happens. So here's Jesus. How would it be if you hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights? If you hadn't eaten, what kind of situation would you be in? I would eat things I would never eat because I would be so hungry. And so in verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. That sounds pretty good if I hadn't eaten in 40 days and 40 nights. That sounds good even if I've eaten. And verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he tempts him. Jesus answers. Then in verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. I don't like to dash my foot against the stones. I want to be protected. Sometimes we get into that mode, and Jesus says, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So we see that Satan wants us to follow him. We also know that, as we have talked about, God wants us to follow him, and so we're in the twixt here. And we look at, what does Satan offer Jesus? You know, how many times do we have things that we go for the instant gratification? Jesus could have immediately been filled. He could have immediately eaten. We see that. And, you know, we're told in Revelations 2:10 that we're to be faithful unto death. And our reward, sometimes our reward isn't here on earth. It may be in heaven. There's some research that was done in the 60s about a marshmallow. I don't know if you guys have seen that. And they take 3 to 5 year old kids and they put a marshmallow at the table and they sit at the table and they tell them not to eat the marshmallow. And man, those kids, they look at it and they squeeze it and they lick it. Some of them eat it. But the whole thing is about delayed gratification, because they're told that if they will delay their gratification, there's a whole bunch of marshmallows. And we laugh and we think about how simple that is, and we think about what we're promised: eternal life. All of no pain, no sorrow, all the things that we battle with here will be gone forever. And we looked this morning in James 5 about how life is a vapor. And so we live for that gratification that we're promised with heaven. And we need to listen to God, not to Satan. And we see Jesus set this example of this. Because God offers us a reward not only here, because that life that he asks us to live as a Christian is better than that life that I see in the world. I don't have to worry about a lot of things that happen to those who are living in the world. And if it does happen to this body that you see, they can't harm me or take my soul from me, and I'll be in heaven forever. But we're offered different things. Satan, he offers it now. It's an instant reward. It's one that's here and now. And so they both offer us rewards. Which reward do you want? The one that you can get right now? It's kind of like when the kids were small, you would get a new toy or something and they'd be all excited about it. And then in a week, it doesn't mean anything. Think about the rewards that we have in this life, how we'll have something happen that's really good, but in time we're tired of it or it doesn't mean that much. But God offers one not only here for relationships and the spiritual relationships that we can have and the life that we can live, but it offers it eternally. That's the reward that we want. Both use power to attract. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep it in memory, what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." So this gospel, this good news is attractive. We hear it, we receive it, and we want to keep that. So we have this attraction. The Lord appeals us through this gospel. Many times I've said before that when I first became baptized, it was, while I had a love for God, my fear of hell was my biggest motivating factor, because I was afraid of that. And you look at what the devil offers, and he tries to attract us too. And he's had a lot of experience at it, 6,000 to 7,000 years being on this earth, going to and from and trying to pull us away. And so we see this, that we know these things are coming. We've been warned, and we have these battles. I think sometimes one of the hardest things that we at times face is that we know what to do, and so many times we just don't do it. And we have these battles, and sometimes we're not left on the sidelines. We have to take action, and we have to be in this battle. And then we look at what happens. There's people who don't really get in the battle. They try to stay out of the battle, or they're unfit for the battle. And let's think about some of those. You as we've compared this, and I think a lot of times it gets hard for us to realize the size of the blessing that we're going to get. If you saw the size of the blessing coming, you would understand the magnitude of the battle you're fighting. If we realized how precious heaven was, we would realize that everything on this earth pales. But it's hard for us. That's why when we read Revelation, the way that heaven is described is in ways that we can see it. And we see all this gold and all these precious things that in our minds are just way above and beyond, because we cannot imagine. what heaven will be like. But we have to look at ourselves. Am I fit for this battle? Am I ready for this battle? You know, and we think about in life how many times we'll talk about people who are ill or have physical ailments. But what about those who have spiritual ailments? How do we view that? You know, what I'm going to call a withered soul, those who are not able to work or those who have fallen away. In James, in chapter 5, the very last two verses, we looked at this, we almost got to this in class this morning. He says in chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." We need to really be concerned about those who are lost, especially those who have found God's way, have found the way, have come to Jesus, and have fallen away. We know that we need to help those. We know in Galatians 6:1, you know, we're to bear one another's burdens. We're to help those. We're to help convert those who have fallen away and have become unfaithful. And we need to be concerned about these withered souls because they have fallen out of the battle. They have been injured, and they've been injured spiritually. What about those who look back? Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. You know, it's interesting. We talk about the importance of history, and why do we study history? So we don't repeat it. And then you look at history, and how often do we not just keep repeating history? So many times we do. And here in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, Jesus said unto him, you know, and this is after he's talking about the price of discipleship. But he says, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." How often do we come and we become faithful in God's service? And then how often do we start looking back and something gets our attention? And I can tell you, if you've ever tried to walk looking backwards, you won't walk the straight line. You won't end up where you think you're going to go. You will end up somewhere else. And Jesus says that if that's how we are, if we put our hand, "I'm going to be a Christian and this is what I'm going to do," and then I look back, you know, we see a lot of people that go back into the world when this happens. I like how Paul puts it, and I think this is how we should look at it as Christians. In Philippians 3:14, when he says that I press toward the mark of the high calling, we need to press toward that. We need to press toward Christ. I have a friend that talks to me a lot, and he a lot of times he'll in conversations with me, and he'll say, "Onward, you know, forward, let's go. Don't look back. I can't fix that back. I can't change what's happened. I need to look forward." And we need to not be those who are always looking back. You know, there's things I've done that I'm ashamed I've done, and I wished I could erase that memory. So let's not look back. Let's go forward. There are some verses that we're familiar with, and I love this in 1 John chapter 2. And we think of all the things in some of these that we need to look out for. These forces of evil that we have in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And when you think about love not, it's love less. Don't love the world like we love some other things. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And this world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. These things are going to pass away. You think how temporary sometimes some of our good things in life can be. But these things are attractive to us. What our eyes see. The pride of life. And Satan uses these to tempt us and to pull us away from things. And next, let's look over to Luke chapter 14. You know, I think today one of the things that we struggle with is taking responsibility or taking blame. What we typically do is give excuses. And let's read verses 6, beginning in Luke 14, we'll start in verse 16. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the half and the blind and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which have bidden shall taste of my supper. Do we not make excuses of why I can't follow God's word? Or why I can't be obedient? Do we not live in a world where it's excuses for everything? You know, you don't hear people own up very often and say, that's my fault. I'll take responsibility for this. Take responsibility or not, you know, we're going to be judged by those words that were given. I think sometimes we look at our excuses and they can be pretty lame, not just spiritually, but in life. But those aren't fit for this battle, because if you're going to be an excuse maker, you're not all in the battle. And if you're not all in the battle, you're going to lose the battle. He talks about in Matthew 10 and verse 28, the fearful and the faint-hearted. Who should we fear? That person that can destroy both the body and soul. And fear them not, which can kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If we're not afraid, if we don't have that healthy fear of God, we're not going to stay and complete that battle. We're not ready for that battle. Then another one in Matthew that we talk about. How many times, you know, are we committed to things? If we make a commitment, you know, it's heaven or hell. That's our choices. It's God or Satan. And we can't hold on to both. And so many times we try to. In Matthew 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So this morning, who are we in the battle? Or have we found reasons that we're not really fit for this battle? Because if we're not fit for the battle, if you go back and look at Ephesians 6 where we started, if you're not fit for that battle, if you don't have all of the pieces, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, if you don't have yourself armed as a Christian, you're not ready for the battle. You know, and we think about it, and the final group is not ready for the battle are those who are disobedient. And so many times we can look at ourselves and we see that, and to be obedient, we need to be in Christ. We need to put him on in baptism and do those things that we're supposed to do. Finally, we're to be faithful to the end. And so are we really obedient? You know, and I think a lot of times the battles that we fight, are the hardest battle you'll ever have to fight is between who you are now and who you want to be. Do you really, really want to be that Christian that's faithful? Because sometimes it's hard to get there. Sometimes we sit in the pew and don't do anything when we need to go put the Lord on in baptism to be obedient to Him. Sometimes we sit in the pew and we've done something that we need help or comfort or prayers for, and we still sit in the pew and we don't do it. We don't make the change. It's hard to change. But those are hard battles. So you think about what we've talked about this morning, and I'd like for you to think about this. One day or day one, it's your decision. One day, are you going to get in the battle? Someday, we procrastinate. Or is today day one that you're in the battle? You have that decision to make. If you have not put on the Lord in baptism, we would ask of you to please consider your situation. And if you have not done that, please do that. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, in the church, a member of the church, so that you can be eternally with God in heaven. If you have done something that has caused harm to your reputation, to the church, or you need strength or comfort, or just encouragement of any time, if there's something that we can help you with this morning, we ask, is it one day, or is it day one? Let's make sure that we're in a safe condition as we leave the building this morning. I ask that you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.